Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
You have made this point as the playoff rankings came out last night to, I think, as little of heralding as I possibly can remember. I feel like the playoff rankings have just not been as...
It was two nights ago, yeah.
As noteworthy as they are most years. Well, I don't know if that's because there's just no real discussion at the top, but...
I mean, there was some discussion, right? Like, people debated, you know, Alabama and what that meant for everything, but it really... I think it becomes so convoluted, and I think it just becomes hard for people to even keep track at the top between the wins, the losses, what actually gets you in and what doesn't.
Well, but I mean, even think, like, who's number one? Ohio State, Indiana, Texas.
And that's not really... I mean, Texas A&M. Yeah, that's not
Texas
changing.
A&M, yeah.
Yeah, and that part's not changing.
Well, but even then, like, even if it does, like, if you're an Ohio State fan, if you beat Michigan and then beat Indiana in the Big Ten title game, you're going to be the number one seed, right? Like, there's an element of this where I think two things are at play. One, they've expanded the playoffs to such a point where there's just no credible fear of missing the playoffs.
I think that's
if you're
the
Ohio
big
State.
One. Yeah, I think that's the big one right
but
now.
But then two, it's also, we know that in the end, if you're Ohio State at least, within reason, there's a lot that can go on, and you're just going to be still one of the 5-6 teams at the top of this thing.
I mean, I know Ohio State's had a season. I've watched every Saturday, but it doesn't – and this is not an Ohio State exclusive take, but like I thought Pete pointed it out nicely. It's been 5 weeks, and it feels like 5 scrimmages.
Yeah.
They've just been so dominant, and so I don't know.
They've only given up, I think, 75 points this season.
It's wild.
Isn't that a stupid stat?
And so is it just because we're watching a lot of Ohio State? Like, my Saturdays are still built around college football, but there is a part of this that I just, again, I'm just using just interactions with friends, interactions with people that like discussing this type of stuff. It just feels like there's less interest as a whole. And I just feel like it's because the ramp up is there. And the ramp up will get there. I bet the numbers for the playoff are going to be astronomical. I think they're going to be so high. But until we get to that spot, I don't know what to do right now.
So I think it's a lot of things. I also think this is a weird year for college football because there's incredible amounts of parity. Like, yes, there's, you know, there are 5 or 6 true playoff caliber teams, but if you look at like teams 6 or 7 through teams like 30, I don't know that there's that much. Like, just looking at the top 25 right now, I don't know that there's really that much. Take away the records between Oregon, like this Oregon team or this Oklahoma team, and the Missouri team, who's 22 right now, or the Tennessee team that's 20th right now. I don't know there's that much. Like, and by the way, Michigan's 8-2. Michigan is not an 8-2 team.
No,
like,
they
that's
don't feel
not
like
that
it.
Good of a team.
Yeah, they don't feel like it.
So I think because there aren't clear structures that we can look at and be like, well, you don't belong there. You should be up here. I think anything that happens. Okay, so there's not a lot of talk in the top three. Right?
Yeah.
And then there's just not a lot of discussion once you get from like 6 to 20 because it's like either it's apparent, here's the hard limit, or there's just not much gap between any of these teams.
And the debates, though, for trying to get those final spots aren't nearly as much fun as I think people thought that they would be.
Yeah. And like, which might be just this year.
Like Alabama, for instance, all these Alabama fans are losing their mind, and it's like, well, you guys were the ones wanting to fire your head coach after like week 3 of the season, and you guys are the ones going to turn around and talk about all these 4 ranked wins you have and how great you are. And listen, I think you should be a playoff team, but like there is a spot where it turns into you're just – well, you should be better than a 2-loss team.
Can it just be that there's one blue blood team that's truly elite? And by the way, I think we all are sleeping on Georgia. I think by the end, we're going to give Georgia more respect. But like, Oh, okay, Ohio State, true blue blood. The next two teams are Indiana and Texas A&M.
And even, that is hard for people. It's always hard anytime, like wrapping your heads around those two teams being number two and number three. That's a hard thing for people,
even
for
beyond
sure.
That, it's Texas Tech and it's Ole Miss. Those are good schools. They're not blue bloods. Hell, Oregon isn't a blue blood. They spend a butt ton of money. They're still a relative Johnny-come-lately when it comes to the national scene, football-wise, is Oregon.
And so, like, Texas Tech, though, I mean, they bought their way in, you know? Oregon, we've always talked about buying their way in. But, like, some of these teams that are buying their way in, I think that does turn people off. I really do. I think there's a part of the NIL world that has turned some people off. I think there's, even like I mentioned Petiti earlier, that crook. I mean, my goodness, you put a TV exec in charge of a conference? What the hell did you think was going to happen? Of course he's going to be out there trying to get as many teams as he possibly can in there. He looks at this conference, and he looks at college football as one big TV programming event. What'd you think was going to happen?
I mean, in fairness, I think they all look like that now.
I mean, but like, you put an actual TV exec in charge of this. Like, it's not even like you blurred the lines with whether or not you could be a commissioner and whether or not you could actually be in charge of the whole thing and have the best interest of the sport at heart. You put an actual TV exec in charge of it all. What'd you think was going to happen? The guy's the biggest charlatan I've ever met.
I think college football fans have said for a long time they like when there's parity in college football, and I think it's always been a lie. I think they like their blue bloods. They like when it's Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Miami, USC, Texas. When those teams are top, when more of those teams are top six, seven teams than not, Alabama, I think that's what people like. And I think what this season proves is that, because right now, if you just judge by the top 12, the top 15, well, yeah, sure, Ohio State's likely to win, but we could have a non-blue blood champion. I think basically college football this year is called BS on college football fan. And I'm one of them who's been like, I like when there's more parity. I'm wrong. No. No. I also like when Texas, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, I don't think Michigan's a blue blood. They barely exist. But Notre Dame, like, I think that's better when those are your top five teams.
I don't think you're wrong. I think but is that the heart of what this is proving or what this is shaping out to be? Because I find it so fascinating. Like, the lack of college football conversations we've had on this station throughout this season is, I mean, it's not startling. I think we do the appropriate number, but we don't do that many in a week.
I think that's just Ohio State dominance. Hey, guys. Ohio State, are they really that good? I mean, and honestly, it's kind of the conversation with the Cavs right now. Like, I don't know how anyone's having in-depth, four-segment-a-show conversations on the Cavs. Like, hey, how much do their struggles matter? 216-474-0092.
Well, why is that? Because you're counting down to the parts of the season that actually matter for the Cavs. And I think the same thing can be happening here with college football, where we are turning this into college basketball in a way, where because you have so much room for error, there's just not a focus on the loss. And you just, all right, we'll get to the playoff, and you can shape it whatever way you want.
Well, but I mean, even within, so I think there's some validity to that. That was one of the big fears when you go to more than four teams or more than eight teams. Are you cheapening the regular season product? There might be some of that here, too. I also think, like, listen, the Big Ten and the SEC are incredibly dominant. They are. Like, that's where, and even then, like, the difference between the third best team in the SEC and the eighth best team, the records might be very similar, but the football play that you see, you're not seeing the ridiculous 60-point blowouts in some of those games, the demonstrative performances. And then you get to like the secondary conferences of the group of five, like the ACC and the Big 12, or the Power Five, and you're like, the ACC stinks. Anybody excited that Georgia Tech is the belle of the ball this year? And even that, like the difference between Georgia Tech and Pittsburgh, who they play this weekend, there's a chance Pittsburgh upsets them. Same Big 12, like BYU is a badass. Texas Tech is badass, but it's like, okay, like there's just not a lot there this year.
See, but that's what it is, though. And I used to, you know, I'd always find myself like seeking out college football content and seeking out different segments here and there. And I just don't see myself doing that. There's a couple people I still listen. Like I like Joel Klatt, you know that. And so I'll still listen to what he has to say, and I'll still seek out some different avenues to you know, get little convos here and there. But like every time I tune in to these different college football segments, it's not like I'm like, whoa. That was awesome. I need more of that. I just don't have that right now.
I think from my standpoint, it is watching Ohio State sleep. And again, I don't think this team's better than last year's team. Ironically, I think this defense somehow might be better than last year's defense. But on the whole, I don't think this team is as deep as last year is. And I don't think this offense, the passing offense is really good, but they don't have a great run game. Like, I think this is the kind of Ohio State team that you'd like to see challenged. And, I mean, Penn State completely crapped the bed.
I mean,
the big matchups outside of Texas and Washington.
Do game days feel like an obligation as an Ohio State fan?
Yeah, like, I'm not, like, what, like Ohio State, Rutgers,
It feels that way to me right now.
And by the way, I think this Rutgers team is actually pretty good. I think they're better than their 5-5 record. But I don't. This is going to be a 25-point win, or at least should be. So, like,
great. You take on UCLA without even their starting quarterback.
But
all
I
right,
don't.
Great.
So I don't think it's just that Ohio State's been that dominant. It's even, you just mentioned it. By the time they played Penn State was cooked and Franklin was out. By the time they played USC, Nico Iamalieva is done, right? Like, yeah. You don't get him in that game. Like, it's been very fortuitous if you're an Ohio State fan, because it's allowed you to go through this completely unchallenged. But even as a Walmart Ohio State fan, which is what I consider myself, yeah, I mean, I could have really used like a Ohio State Oregon this year, or an Ohio State USC, I don't know. But, you know, something of substance.
Something. And so that's what I've been battling with. I'm trying to figure out, is because we come at it with such an Ohio State focus, if they've tampered this down, or if you talk to people that are just diehard college football fans, and I've talked to a few, where they feel like the sport is just different at the moment, and it's not different in a good way.
So I definitely think, like with a lot of things, like when we talk when baseball had its problems, or any league has its problems, I always think it's more than one thing. I think sometimes we get too cute with it, but do I think it's a confluence of we've never had more talent in college football because of the extended eligibility, plus the portal, plus the money coming in and upsetting the apple cart, plus expanded playoffs, plus some scheduling quagmires here and there. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's kind of all those things where it's like, I'm still enjoying the games when I stumble across a good game and it's between two equally matched teams and they happen to be teams I'm interested in, it's mm-hmm. great. But, like, other than that, yeah, it is. And again, the games are more competitive. That should be the thing. But it doesn't mean it's good football.
No. I'm interested. I want to hear what other people have to say on this, because I feel like it's just I've been living in like a college football fog so far, and I'd like to get out of it. I'm expecting the playoffs to zap me out of it, by the way. Like, that is the expectation. I'm expecting, honestly, Indiana-Ohio State, Big Ten title game.
That's going to get the juices flowing?
That should get there. Yes, it should get there. But I think that's almost, it's almost criminal, the idea that something that used to be awesome every Saturday has now, it's had me looking at it like the college basketball tournament, where I'm just kind of counting down the clock until we get to that spot.
I would also say college football does ebb and flow. It doesn't deliver every single year. That could be another element of play here. 216-474-0092. Are you less interested in college football this year? Part of me just wants to say it's a down year, but doesn't help that we don't have nearly as many elite coaches, with guys like Saban and Urban going off into the suite by and by without truly being replaced. A little update. Earlier in the last segment, we talked mm-hmm. about the Kelly Iko report, that amidst a 4-11 start, LaMelo Ball has grown increasingly frustrated with the organization and is open to a trade.
Yeah.
LaMelo has since quote tweeted that with the clown emoji.
Well, that usually means that he doesn't buy into that.
Yeah, I think he's refuting it.
But the clown emoji tells me there might be a little truth to that.
I was going
to
say, why not the cap emoji?
Anytime you acknowledge it, as a player like that,
you got to do the cap emoji.
Yeah, well, people like the cap emoji. Cap emoji means straight up lying.
People are like, oh, he's lying.
But clown, you can be a clown. You can be a truthful clown, though.
True.
Bozo was a truthful clown.
We don't. And LaMelo could just like clowns. In fairness, he could just like clowns and want to post that as well.
Clown-a-toots.
Clown-a-toots, baby. Can Joe Burrow save the Bengals season? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. About 6 weeks ago, I kind of made I started realizing my fantasy football team in our fantasy football league was good but not great.
Okay.
And this was right around the time Joe Burrow got injured. And so I did a long play there, and I took Joe onto my team and I put him on the IR.
Yeah.
I might be getting a little lucky here because it seems like not only is Joe Burrow going to be back for our playoffs, we still have two more weeks to go in the regular season. I desperately need a win.
Who's your quarterback?
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
He's been okay. No, he's been okay.
You're going to give up on Baker?
He gives me anywhere from 16 to 22 points a week. The problem is it's usually closer to like 17 or 18 points.
Been a rough go. He had a good game last weekend, though.
He did, and that was the one time I decided not to have him in the starting lineup.
You benched Baker.
I was going for Joe Flacco.
Some Baker bro you are.
I was going for Joe Flacco. Joe had just put up 30 points.
I'm a little disgusted with you right now.
And I'm a little disgusted with myself. I got my ass kicked. I put 70 points up against Darryl. But Joe Burrow, looks like he could play this weekend. Huge implications in our fantasy league. Huge implications, yeah. I guess, in the NFL or something.
I don't even know that it has huge implications in the NFL. I love the idea of him potentially coming back because I want to see him play football. Some of the takes out there are wild. I saw somebody on a national platform call him the Anthony Davis of the NFL now. And, I mean, we are going there.
It wasn't
there.
Me. I didn't say it to somebody.
I don't think it was you, at least. But we're definitely going there when it comes to Joe Burrow. The problem that the Bengals have is that it's just
they're not good.
Well, the defense just stinks so much, and it just there's no overcoming that. But look at their schedule, Nick. Patriots.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's Ravens, Bills, Ravens. That is good morning, good afternoon, and good night.
You can beat every one of those teams.
That is good morning, good afternoon,
you can
and
beat
good
every
night.
One of as those teams.
As a three-win team, they have to win out in order to have a whisper of a conversation about them hitting the postseason. Patriots, Ravens, Bills, Ravens.
They're only three games back.
That is tough.
From a playoff spot in the AFC.
Yeah, three games back
with seven games to go. Yeah. So if you just go 6-1 and everybody, I don't do math, but if everybody else just doesn't go 6-1, you're telling me there's a chance.
Do I need to read the next four games for you again?
You're putting too much stock in the Ravens. They're booty cheeks. We saw it this last weekend. The Browns held them close. Come on now.
What are they on a four-game winning streak now?
Yeah, I don't beat a bunch of bad teams.
Well, their defense,
their
defense hasn't allowed 20 points in a game in that four-game stretch.
And they played the Browns offense.
And Lamar Jackson is back. He's back cooking.
I didn't see him cooking on Sunday.
No, he looked awful on Sunday.
Cooked.
He did look awful on Sunday.
So I'm getting cooked, but I don't see him cooking.
I think he was preserving himself.
I think it's going to be really funny if Joe Burrow comes back, rushes back from this toe injury, and in seven games they go like 3-4.
I don't even know that he should rush back.
I think he should.
I like the idea that he is, you know. You know where this is going. He's going to get beat up again like a pinata back there.
Yeah, no, but I need him to put up like I need him for like 500 yards up a game.
For a season that is absolutely spent. I don't know what happens with Joe Burrow in like for the next 5 years or so. But I do find it interesting to find out what the Bengals do in the short term. They're not giving up on him. You shouldn't give up on him. He's very, very injured.
I think they should be more worried about him giving up on them than them giving up on him, if that makes sense.
No, it does make sense. I think that is one of the concerns they have. Like, but so he just wants a new, fresh start. What team is he looking to go to?
I mean, if you're Joe Burrow, you think anybody would be better than Cincinnati,
right? What teams are doing quarterback swaps? We talk couple swaps all the time on this show.
We talk about it all the time.
I feel like. Anytime someone says swap, we're bringing up an ABC show from 20 years ago.
I could see him wanting to go to San Francisco and play for Kyle Shanahan.
All right. So wait, let's go through these teams that immediately dumps their quarterback and throws him away to the trash bin and says, we're done with you. We want Joe Burrow instead. As injured as Joe Burrow has been. I agree with you on San Francisco.
Miami.
I agree with you on Miami. I think McDaniel and Burrow would be that'd be too enticing for him to give up.
Houston. CJ Stroud for that
Man,
might be the
CJ's most. CJ's had a hard season, but I don't think they do that.
Oh, I think they do it without even thinking about it.
I need more time on that one. Because that it's the type of trade that really can sink a franchise if Joe Burrow is just an injured player.
Ready for it?
If he is Anthony Davis of the NFL, this sinks your franchise.
You're not going to like this one. Philadelphia.
Oh, no, I like this one. I'm not as beholden to Jalen Hurts as you are.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact,
I love that take from you. In a swap where Jalen Hurts goes to Cincinnati, essentially, is what this turns out to be, or Jalen Hurts goes wherever, it doesn't matter, and they end up getting the Eagles, is a shakeup that the NFL is... I like chaos. That's chaos of the highest order.
Green Bay?
They don't do it with Jordan Love.
Oh, I think they do.
I don't think they do.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't think they do. I wouldn't. I'll tell you that right
Detroit,
now. I wouldn't.
JK, LOL. That's everybody else is an absolute
yes. There's a lot more teams than we can name than not name. All right. Well, I mean,
did I miss any teams there?
No, because you got to thread that right. Thread the needle of needs a quarterback and all. You know what it is? It's the Rams whenever Stafford gives up.
Oh yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. What about the Ravens? Would the Ravens right now trade Lamar straight up for Joe Burrow?
No.
Why'd you say it like that? That was very... I don't like the way you said that.
I'm sorry. I thought it was an offensive question almost.
Why? Why would it be an offensive question? Lamar hasn't won a damn thing in Baltimore.
Other than two MVPs.
Okay, Mr. Coach of the Year.
No, those are real accomplishments. The two MVPs are real accomplishments.
No. That's still voted on.
He just was in the AFC title game.
If you asked everybody in the NFL, who would you rather have at quarterback, Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson?
But we have to split. Well, all right, but we have to put the health concerns into all of this.
Lamar also has health concerns.
I know he does, but like the health part of this has to matter. I think it's closer to a wash, and when it becomes closer to a wash, nobody ends up doing it.
216-474-0092.
This is Burrow making the move here.
Yes.
This is Burrow saying, correct, I'm done with you, Bengals. I need to find something better.
Did he say that
better.
Exact same way? I'm done with you, Bengals. What murder? He's a great guy.
I'm done with you, Bengals. He doesn't even call anyone up. He just announces it from his house.
Or he calls
off his balcony.
He calls everybody in the organization out in front of Paul Brown Stadium, and he's got a microphone. He goes, "I'm done." It's the opposite of Leo in Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Instead of I'm not bleeping leaving. He's like, "I'm bleeping leaving. I'm done with you, Bengals." It's like Bull after a bad season. I'm done with you, Bengals.
He could do a better poll, but that wasn't bad.
I got really nowhere
to
go.
I do Adam's reaction to Joe Burrow saying he's done with the Bengals.
What are you talking about? What? I think that was worse than the last one.
We'll work on it.
Joe's done with the Bengals. I'm done with the Bengals too.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right, did we move in the right direction there?
Yeah, close enough.
Close enough. Yeah, the vote of confidence there. What teams would straight up trade for Joe Burrow? But not the easy ones. The Browns, no duh. But we're talking about like would the Bengals and Ravens take part of the fact they play each other twice a season? Would that be an equitable swap there, Lamar for Joe Burrow? Now we're gonna head out to the fan hotline here because it's Thursday at 6:30. It's time for one of our favorite guests.
It's time to put it on the line with Cash Lovett, sponsored by BetMGM and MGM Northfield Park.
And it is time for Cash Lovett!
Hate it!
Right now, Cash, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are y'all doing tonight?
Doing all right. I guess we'll start there. In a potential trade of injury-prone AFC North quarterbacks, who says no in a Joe Burrow for Lamar Jackson trade?
The Ravens immediately. 0% chance they make that trade.
I don't believe you.
All right, what teams do make that trade? Did the Eagles make that trade?
I think the Eagles really might just because they have the wide receivers that can help Joe Burrow and kind of switch their offense. Like, the Ravens' entire offense is built around Lamar Jackson. Right.
Do the Texans trade C.J. Stroud for Joe Burrow?
I don't know what CJ's contract is. I think as soon as you get into like that realm, the Texans might say no, just because they might be able to get CJ at a discount.
I hate contract talk. That being said, let's get to your picks, buddy. Bills at Texans. How are we feeling about this one?
You know, it's another Thursday night. Teams got to travel far distance, so there's nothing that we love more than playing unders. This was actually moved from 43.5 to 44.5. The Bills have the 26th-ranked rush defense. Oddly enough, the Texans still can't really run the ball, but you got Davis Mills. You're going to continue to try. This clock is going to be running nonstop. Nice and easy under 44.5.
All right, let's go to the college game. What is it that you see in a Hawaii and UNLV?
We see a lot of points and a lot of fun. I wish that UNLV still had the giant slot machine that they could pull after touchdowns, but the NCAA said no fun. But the cool thing is UNLV has literally the worst defense in the Mountain West. They're giving up 264 pass yards a game. Timmy Chang has this team humming like when he was the quarterback there, 302 passing yards a game. They are underdogs. They had a bye week. No worries about traveling to the mainland. Hawaii plus +3.
All right, now we do have a battle of top 25 teams. Mizzou going on the road at OU. How do you feel about this game?
It is going to be a battle of the defenses. For as much as we've talked about and heard about how great Oklahoma's defense is, Missouri actually has a top 20 rush defense and top 20 pass defense. They have one of the best running backs in the country, arguably the best running back in the SEC. I think he's going to be able to break a couple big plays in Amon Hardy, and Missouri covers that 7.5.
All right.
A little bit of upset alert.
Upset alert? Go ahead.
No, just I think Missouri can actually win this game outright. We're going to keep it nice and easy, just take the 7.5 and enjoy a nice defensive slugfest. AFC North game, if you will.
All right, let me take you to a classic Big Ten matchup. You know, I think Big Ten, I think USC and Oregon. What do we got here?
Yeah, how could you not? I mean, played in the Rose Bowl plenty of times. And you know, nice West Coast time for our Big Ten matchup. Oregon, I'm going to be leaning on their defense again, as they have the best pass defense in the entire country. Mekhi Lemon, I think, is going to have a little bit of trouble getting open. And Jordan Maiva is going to struggle when he throws that ball up for the receivers to make a great play. Oregon's going to cover the 9.5 as USC in Big Ten play is 2-5 against the spread.
All right, we will get to the big game everybody wants to talk about here on this station, but I guess we'll start with, what are your expectations for Shedeur Sanders in his NFL starting debut on Sunday against the Raiders?
Better than 4-for-16, but maybe not much better, as he had 18 dropbacks in that game and only 20 positive yards. That seems almost impossible. And if we include his last game against the Rams in the preseason, that's 31 dropbacks for -7 yards.
Cash, are you a Shahader or are you a supporter?
You don't sound like a supporter, I'll tell you that much.
Believe it or not, I'm a supporter. I thought he was going to be the perfect quarterback for the Browns and Stefanski, be able to make the quick decision to get everything going. And I don't know if it's just the receivers or him bringing some of those bad decisions of holding on to the ball too long from college. But I don't see it this week. I think if we give him the rest of the season, it'll all kind of fall into place. But when you're saying, I need a lot of things to go right for me to play my absolute best, you know, I just haven't had the reps of throwing to these receivers. So I think we need to give them that, but we're not going to see it this week.
All right. Browns and Raiders, what do you got?
Everything in me wanted to come in and say Browns money line, Browns +4. The Browns have the best unit in this game by far in their defense. But the more I looked into it, first off, we have the biggest stat. Rookie quarterback for the Browns, 0-17. It's a rough one to get past. Then we have the Browns' defense on the road is absolutely atrocious. They are 5-17 against the spread on the road. None of it makes sense. Raiders -4.
All right, Cash, love it.
Hate it.
See you next week, buddy.
Bye, Cash.
See y'all next week.
Cash, love it.
Hate it.
Put it on the line with Cash Lovett, sponsored by BetMGM and MGM Northfield Park.
I just feel like he kind of said he was a supporter there.
I didn't love it at all. Hated it.
We love Cash.
Yeah, I love Cash. But
Cash,
that was
love it.
Did not love that lack of confidence
there. Cash supporter, hate it.
Yeah, no, that's not a supporter.
In case you missed it, in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.